Thank you, Brother Randy, and indeed, and the old expression, our hearts and our hats are off to all of you moms. Every one of us seems to have. Yeah, I always wondered. Here's a 290-300-pound lineman, you know, and playing football. And you know what he'll say when he's recognized? Hi, Mom! Well, I suspect that is an indication that his mom was held in high, high esteem, as we do all our moms. God bless you. And being Mother's Day, I want us to look at two scriptures. Both scriptures use the word excellent woman. And I think in most every case, that would describe mom, an excellent woman. First is Ruth. If you would, turn to the book of Ruth, chapter 1. While you're turning there, I knew where we were going. And in literature, this is an exceptionally great book. Someone commented that I read after this past week that as Mona Lisa is to art, Ruth is to literature. A great story here, but oh my, when we began to dig in and look at and see all of those great truths that Ruth portrays and the book of Ruth portrays, and by the way, the life of Ruth portrays, we then learn the tremendous impact of this book being in the Holy Scriptures. Verse 1, would you stand, please, to honor the reading of the Word of God? And we'll get the date on Ruth right off the bat. Now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judea, went to dwell in the country of Moab, and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. We'll stop there. That is sufficient. Because you said, preacher, we're going to talk about Ruth, and we are. Naomi is mother-in-law. God bless. May the Holy Spirit give direction and inspiration and encouragement as we look at the Word of God today. As we always pray, Father, may we pray one more time in your presence, that when we go from this place, we will go saying, it was good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Thank you. Be seated, please. We have this beginning of the story. Let me give you a little background here. Moab, by the way, Moab was the son born to Lot's oldest daughter. You'll remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah and the great fire that destroyed that place and the mighty hand of God that led Lot and his two daughters and his wife out of Sodom. And a wicked place indeed. In fact, if we backed up a few chapters from there, we would find that Jesus and two angels came to visit Abraham. Well, it appears that way because they came by Abraham's tent. And while they were there having buttermilk and cornbread and beans, you see what we've already planned our Mother's Day dinner today. Okay. While they were there, the question was posed, should we tell Abram why we came? And then that one angel that Jesus boldly, Abram boldly calls the Lord, said, it has come to our attention in heaven that Sodom and Gomorrah has become an exceedingly evil and wicked place. And we're going down to investigate. And we're going to destroy it. Folks, listen now. This is not the place to insert it, but I'm going to put it in anyway, okay? God will not tolerate evil in my life, in your life, in the life of the church. He just will, in the life of a country, by the way. And I think America needs to sit up and pay attention to that. We're going to go down and check it out and see if it's like it's been reported to us. Well, who in the world do you think told on Sodom and Gomorrah? Did you ever think about that? Well, I'll tell you who did. Satan did. He goes into the presence of God always to make accusations. And by the way, you mess up and you let your besetting sin get a hold of you, Satan's going to run up there and tell on you. As though God didn't already know. Now, and if it is, as we heard, we're going to destroy that place. Oh my, I love the boldness of Abram. He says, surely, a righteous God would not destroy everyone because of the sins of the city. Let's just say there's 50 good people, righteous people, in Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, I don't know how long Lot lived there. Surely long enough to make 45 converts. God wouldn't. Okay. If there's 50. Now, do you ever bargain with God? This is a little side lesson here. It's free. Do you ever bargain with God? Abram said, what if it's 40? Okay, we'll agree on 40. What if it's 30 or 20? And he gets it down to guaranteed. What if it's 10? Would God destroy the righteous with the wicked if there's 10? Lot, his wife, his daughters and their husbands, and two single daughters. Guaranteed. But they didn't find that. And you know, God said the angels, Jesus did not, the angels drove Lot out of Sodom and up the mountain and away from there, saying, don't even look back. Don't have any desire for that wickedness. Oh, hallelujah. In Jesus Christ. Listen, in Jesus Christ, we can overcome sin. Now, I don't know about you, but I tried every other way and it didn't work. What about you? And Lot's wife looked back, turned to a pillar of salt. A little later on, further into the mountains, Lot got drunk. And his daughter went in and conceived and had a child, a boy child named Moab. And they have been a thorn in the side of the Hebrew people ever since. But here, Naomi and her husband, Elimelech, went to Moab. Just simply because there was not a famine. There was some stuff there. You got to watch going after stuff. Sometimes living through the hard times, the hard way, is better than living through the easy way. Now, that child grew up and became a nation called Moab. And the point I want to make is that their sons, Elimelech and Naomi's sons, married Moab women. And Elimelech got sick. And he died. For some strange reason, both their sons were frail and weak, and they died. And now we have Naomi and her two daughters-in-laws. It's strange because she takes these daughter-in-laws and starts back to Judea. But on her way, it seems, and I would suspect, now this is speculation, don't you go to the bank and try to cash it in, but I would suspect that when they got close to the county line, to the state, to the country line, Naomi stopped and said, "Girls, go on back now." As tradition in Hebrew would be, if I had other sons, you could hang around and marry them. They would be obliged to marry. But I won't have any more sons. So go back, and it's strange. She said to your people and to your gods, and I'll go back to Judah. And the one daughter-in-law, boy, this Naomi, some lady, I'm telling you, she's a great lady. Because this daughter-in-law falls on her neck and weeps and cries and bids her farewell. Ruth, in chapter 2, says, "I'm not going back. I'm going with you." And I often quote this at a wedding. She said to Naomi, "Whether thou goest, I'll go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And I'll dwell with you all the days of my life." And so, it was that when Naomi returned back to Judah, there was with her this very beautiful young lady named Ruth. And Ruth took care of Naomi. We don't know how old Naomi was. We don't know how able Naomi was, but it doesn't matter. Ruth, like a daughter, goes out to glean. Now, the inference is that she just went out to glean. Women could do that if they had no husband or if they were widows. And so Naomi had all the rights to go glean in any field she wanted to because she was a Judean and she was a widow. And representing her, Ruth has that same right. By the way, point being, listen. Did you ever stop, evaluate, and consider the rights you possess in Jesus Christ? In Christ, you have the right to salvation. In Christ's salvation, you have the right to eternal life. In that eternal life, you'll have nothing but goodness. And goodness. And goodness. In fact, I want to make point number one now. In Ruth, we see facts that God's redemption plan extended back, stay with me now, back beyond the Jews. Back when there were hard lines, Jews and Gentiles. But there will be the revelation in the Word of God because of that. Because God's plan included the Gentiles. This is back in the days of the judges. Long before we had the Sanhedrin. Long before we even had the Ten Commandments. It extended back then. God had, listen, say hallelujah. God had we Gentiles in mind all along. Here he reaches, he not only picks up a Gentile, a Moabite, or Moabitess, he picks up one from a country that is in great opposition to the Judeans. Oh my. God had a plan for the Gentiles. That's you and I. He had a plan that said we can have eternal life. And we'll go on and look at some other factors that Ruth reveals to us as she goes out to glean. And she's in the, what do you call that, the program, the law, the stipulations, whatever you wish to call, that the Jews had set up, that the Hebrews practiced through Naomi. She goes back. By the way, you and I, through Jesus Christ the Savior, have every right that belongs to a child of God. In fact, so much so, listen, so much so that Jesus calls us His brothers and sisters, co-heir with Christ Jesus. You know what that means, don't you? Peggy and I have four sons. Most of them are worthy of being shot. No, I'm only joking. They're great guys. But when that time comes, if we're on an airplane, the bottom drops out, they share equally. One has no more than the other. Our will says that. By the way, I mentioned the bottom drop out. Let's see if I can get you back with me here. May I? They tell a story over in Zambia, because Zambia's airlines are notorious. I'm telling you, you just haven't ridden anything, unless you're ridden a Russian airline. You ride their airlines and you really got an experience. But they tell this story in Africa and Zambia, and it's quite funny. It seems the tribes that we work with were the Losis and the Tonkas. They were strong rivals. One was up the Zambezi River and the other was down. I'm on a shortcut now. And a plane has 49 Tonkas and one Losi. And they get off the ground and they're on their way. And the pilot comes on and says, "Men, I've got good news and I've got bad news. We think the bottom's about to fall out of this plane." That's the bad news. But the good news is, we believe we can turn her around and get back and land. That's our best chance. And sure enough, they bank slowly, carefully, easily, and head back to Luxaka, to the airport. And the pilot comes back on and said, "As you men are aware, we made the turn. And we've got good news and we've got bad news. The good news is we're on track to land, believe we can do it. The bad news is we're one man overloaded." Now the Tonkas, the 49 people, they have a greeting, an appreciation. One of these days we'll do it. To say thank you, they say, "Ninja, ninja, ninja." And the pilot says, "Now if all of you would stand up very easily and catch the luggage rack up there." By the way, they don't have doors on their luggage racks. "Catch the luggage rack up there. I think we can make it even if the bottom does fall out." And so they're moving on, and the pilot comes on and says, "One more time, men. We're going to make it, but we're one man too heavy. We won't get to the airport." Well, the old Tonka knows he's outnumbered 49-1. So he says, "I'm going to show you Losi guys, what a real true African is. I'm going to turn a loose and sacrifice myself for you." Heroism. Ninja, ninja, ninja. I didn't get you, did I? They turned loose. Got it? 49 of them dropped out the bottom saying, "Ninja." Well, all right. I'll tell you that again someday, and you may catch it that time. All right. Now, here they are, including God's revelation. We're in the plan. Oh, listen, if we only knew, if we only knew. Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard. It has not entered into the heart of man, the things that God's laid by in store for those. Ruth goes out to glean. With Naomi's rights, in Jesus Christ we have all rights. She comes to a field, and there's a guy named Boaz. Boaz is a very wealthy farmer, and by the way, a kinsman to Naomi. Now you know where Naomi would have gone to glean had she been out there. And Naomi tells Ruth, you be sure to stay in that field. Boaz comes by and says, who's that? Oh, that's that Moabite that Ruth brought out of, or Naomi brought out of Moab when she returned. Oh, she's a near kinsman of mine. Tell you what you guys do. You make sure you drop plenty of barley in her path. Wherever she's gleaning, you make sure she gets plenty. I want to tell you something, folks. Listen. Ruth proves to us that God has an abundance. You know what Jesus said? I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I'm telling you, we haven't even cracked the surface. We haven't even scratched what God's laid by in store for us if we will only believe in Him and accept it through Jesus Christ our Lord. He says, I'll provide all of your needs according to my riches in heaven in Christ Jesus, not according to America economy or any other economy, the euro or anything else, but according to my riches in glory in Christ Jesus, you can cash in on all that God has because you're an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ Jesus. What He gets, you can have. John 14, 15, and 16, Jesus teaches that very clearly for us. Now then, ladies, hear up. If you're sitting by your husband, elbow in, make sure he's listening. In chapter 3, verse 28, the book of Ruth reveals that women... Now, this sounds strange, y'all, that women are co-heirs of God's salvation with men. Now, hey, well, preacher, has that always been the way? No, ma'am. No. I hate to say it this way, but women, just recently, in the time span of time, in the time span of the Word of God, women just recently had that revelation given to them that Christ came to save everybody. The New Testament proclaims that whosoever will, doesn't give any gender, whosoever will may come. We sing that song. Women, we reveal, by the way, remember where this starts? Way back there with the judges before, long before the patriarchs and the kings and all of those guys. Back there with the judges. Women had no rights. In fact, when they got around to making the laws that they were going to live by, this is what they said. They said, now, if a guy doesn't want his woman, all he's got to do is get him two witnesses, three at the most, and tell her, I'm through with you. Bye. That was the stature of women. But in Ruth, we see that revelation that God provides. He provides bountiful. He does not have a sex gender associated with. He just provides. Women are equal to men in the salvation that's in Jesus Christ. In fact, a little side hint here. If you were to track, even, let's just bring it down to church, but, you know, let's just bring it down to Baptist churches. If you would track, if there was a way of tracking, and you know what, well, probably before long there will be, the way they got all this tech system set up now. You see that in the paper this morning where something happened and almost all the countries of the world, they did something to everybody's computer system. Who knows? Maybe we can track. But if you would, if you could, tell you what you'd find out. That most churches were founded by women. Peggy and I were involved in church planting in Michigan, northern Michigan, Flint, northern Michigan, Pennsylvania, and in Fort Wayne, in this 9-county area called Northeast Indiana Baptist Association. And you know who we always found? We would find a man or two, but the bulk of those that we began with would be women. My home church, down in Northeast Arkansas, a preacher in college came through and did a revival. And from that revival, he came to preach and started a church in our community. And I could name you the Janie Smiths and the Clara Smiths. My mom, Beth Sanders, Onita Puckett, the Ray woman, the women who went door to door, took chickens, they took quilts, they took canned goods, they took anything that was given them and cashed it in and got lumber and got logs and got the sawmill man to saw them. Listen, I want to tell you something. You get a bunch of women against you, you're going to do what they tell you to do. And therein built a church. That's not a great church. I suspect, except on Declaration Day, they never once had 100 in attendance. Now, there's people, by the way, that would take a good little look at here at New Life Fellowship and say, boy, you guys are pretty small. Why are you even trying? Let me tell you why. The Rose Chapel Baptist Church, in which I grew up, had 19 of its young people make commitment to full-time ministry, some to foreign missions, some to home missions, some to pastor, some for camping ministries. Well, hey, by the way, our dear one, Ashley, back here, this Ashley, is going away for camping ministry. You be sure to pray for her. She'll have opportunities you won't have. But she also is an extension of New Life Fellowship as she goes. Anyone that goes out from here is an extension of our ministries. Hallelujah. Now, let me get another point in here real quick. Ruth shows us that God's provisions are always, they're always adequate. One night, by Naomi's instruction, now ladies, this gets, if you aren't careful, you can take this the wrong way now. Because Naomi says, you watch where that dude lays down tonight to sleep. And when he's sound asleep long about midnight, what you do is you go lay down and put your feet, you lay down at his feet, and cover ye and he up. Now that's a submission to him. And he wakes up and says, who in the world are you? Now, I'm not advocating any of you females here go try that, even if you're single and desperate for a man. Don't try it. He said, "Who are you?" She said, "Oh, I'm a kinsman of yours through Naomi." Wow. He says, Tell you what, you just lay back down there. And he threw a blanket, a covering over them both. Which just simply said, "I'm accepting you. You are mine." I want to run on now. And so in the morning when they wake up, he makes sure that they both go out together. He's been laying on a grain pile, sleeping outside. He makes sure they both stand together. Another declaration, "She's mine." But he remembers there's a closer kinsman. And so I better take care of you now. Take that shawl that you had wrapped around you that you put over us. Hold it out here, and he filled it full of barley for her. And then he went to this other kinsman, this nearer kinsman, and said to him, "She's yours. This way. It's your responsibility to buy that little piece of land that Ruth has, Naomi has. But with that comes Ruth." And I read this way. Now, your Bible may not read this way, but I read it this way. Wow, that good-looking thing. My wife's not going to allow her in the house. It's my wife. You can have her. And that's exactly what Boaz was looking for. Now, I'm bringing this guy Boaz up because listen to me. He is the grandpa to David, King David. David is the great-grandpa to Jesus. Go to the book of Matthew and find there in the lineages that Boaz was in the lineage. Ruth was in the lineage that came down to bring us Christ Jesus. I'm wondering, do you get the impact of that? In Ruth, we see so much. There are other points, but we will stop with that one because, listen, God has provided. Ruth is a clear and distinct description of that. God has provided. You do not sit there this morning with any need that God cannot provide and will not provide for you if you're willing to simply turn it over to Him and say, "Lord, here it is, it's yours. I won't fool with it anymore." Some of you may have been struggling long and hard with life. I want to tell you something. Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." Some of you may sit there this morning struggling with salvation. "I want to go to heaven. I hope to go to heaven. I plan to go to heaven, but I'm not on my way to heaven." We just finished 3 sermons on the roads of life. Jesus provided salvation full. Free. All you have to do is ask. And then you obey. You just follow Him. You do what He asks you to do. And one day, you'll step off planet Earth and you'll slip into heaven. And you'll be proud. And God will say, "Well done, good, faithful servant." Would you stand, please?